working somehow. First, I'd like to begin thanking you for the opportunity to present a lesson from God's Word. I hope and trust that everything that I say is in accordance with the Word of God. I'd count you as a friend if you point out anything that I say that's contrary to the Word of God. This morning, I chose a topic that I'm hopeful will be helpful in your daily walk. As you think about and study God's Word, and think about how you can share it with other folks that are around you. My topic this morning is about forward thinking. The text there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, it states, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." That idea of looking forward to something greater after this life. The idea of something that's better for you in your life motivates you today. It helps you in your thought process. It helps you to plan your life. It helps you to conduct your life in such a way that your forward thinking will lead to where your treasure truly is, and that is heaven. The church here in Waynesville, church everywhere, needs to be moving forward. We can't be a stagnant group of individuals. We can't be stuck in a rut. We need to be looking forward. We need to be planning forward. We need to be thinking forward in everything that we do. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Paul states it like this: "Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." I think Paul was very forward-thinking. I think he demonstrated that in his preaching. He demonstrated that in his actions. He demonstrated that after he was converted. He never looked behind him. He always pressed forward, always making progress, always thinking ahead. Forward-thinking involves swift action. One example, in Acts chapter 8, verse 36, the eunuch, when he was presented with the gospel, he said, "Here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" He acted swiftly when the opportunity was presented to be baptized into Christ Jesus. He didn't want to wait around. He was forward thinking and knew it required swift action on his part to join the body of Jesus Christ. Miriam, Moses' sister, she acted quickly when Pharaoh's daughter drew Moses out of the Nile. She asked immediately. See, she was ready. There was some forward thinking there. She immediately asked if she could go and fetch a nurse from amongst the Hebrews for Moses. And who did she go get? Moses' mother. Moses' mother taught Moses all about the Jews. But Miriam, we see here in this case, was very forward thinking. She knew immediately who she was going to go get before she even asked the question. And she took immediate, swift action to carry that out. Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verses 59 through 60, He tells an individual, "You follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. As for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." That requires swift action on our part to always be ready to present the gospel. Always be ready, and when the opportunity is presented, to defend the hope that's within our hearts. Always being ready to make a defense of the gospel. Planning ahead sometimes involves taking risks, doesn't it? Failure is a distinct possibility. Jesus was not afraid to fail when he talked to the woman at the well. See, she was a Samaritan, and Jews weren't supposed to talk to Samaritans. But he wasn't afraid. He spoke to that woman and he taught her a great lesson. The result, she went and told everybody about Jesus. Again, you can see his planning. You can see his forethought. He knew what this woman was going to go do. She was going to go and spread the word of Jesus Christ. Pretty brilliant. Paul was not afraid to fail. He was there in chains in Acts chapter 24, verses 24 through 25. He wasn't afraid to teach Felix, a ruler. Even though Felix was not converted, we have the story. Paul took a risk there. He took a chance to try to convince and persuade Felix to become a Christian. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, he wasn't afraid to preach the gospel. He wasn't afraid of what people would do to him. He preached the gospel in one of the very earliest gospel sermons ever preached. The results, he was stoned to death in Acts chapter 7. He wasn't afraid to fail. All three of these examples, they all died for preaching the gospel. Not one of them was afraid. When the opportunity to presented itself, they were ready. They had planned ahead. They had thought ahead. They were prepared to give a defense of the gospel. Opportunity sometimes requires effort with zeal and determination. An opportunity, you see, is not the same thing as a gift. You're not gifted an opportunity. Opportunities present themselves. Oftentimes, the opportunities require work on your part. Let me demonstrate with some examples. Paul reasoned daily for 2 years in the hall of Tyrannus, so that all of the residents of Asia heard the word of God. Pardon my misprint there. In Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 10, you see his effort, his opportunity presented itself. Paul had to work hard at it, didn't he? He worked there reasoning daily. It was daily convincing, daily persuasion, daily teaching for 2 years. And what was the result? All of Asia, it said, heard of the word of God. What a tremendous forward-thinking individual Paul was in planning this and carefully taking his time. 2 years he spent working at this. Jesus also taught this lesson in a more immediate context. In the lessons of the parables of the pearl merchant and the one that sought the treasure on the land. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46, if you want to turn there with me. Matthew chapter 13, 44 through 46. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You see, in the immediate context, they found something of tremendous, immense value. They're forward thinking. You can see they're thinking in their head, how do I get this? This is so valuable, I have to have it. They go and they sell all that they have. And they go and they buy that land with the treasure on it. Or they go and they buy that pearl of great value. That planning and forethought was immediate. It didn't take 2 years. It may have taken a little bit of time, but it required effort. They were diligently seeking, and they diligently found, and they diligently went after it. What they were seeking. That's how our attitude should be in finding and seeking out the lost. Finding and seeking ways that we can teach the gospel. Finding and seeking ways that we can be an influence, a godly influence, on our evil friends and relatives and neighbors, those who do not follow Christ. How can we be a godly influence to persuade them to come to the truth? For their souls have great, immense value to you and to God. We must do everything that we can to find those opportunities to take advantage of them. Plan ahead. Be ready to teach that person on that topic. Be ready with that scripture that might convince that soul. Be prepared. Think ahead. These two individuals that I gave examples, they were looking forward, they were planning forward, and they were thinking forward. We have opportunities here in the local work, in this local area, in Corwin, in Waynesville, in the cities that surround this area. We have the opportunity to evangelize, that is to teach. The Bible provides, I believe, the greatest example of our evangelic local mission, found in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, Paul wrote this in Ephesians 3:10, says, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is the purpose of the church here in Waynesville? Why are we here? What reason do we have to gather on the Lord's Day? It's to make known the manifold wisdom of God to everybody here, to everybody in our local community. That's our mission. That's our purpose. That's what it says was our eternal purpose, that God was through God through foreknowledge, before time began, laid out a plan of salvation. And he brought Jesus Christ into that plan. It was laid down before the world began, before creation, and everything that led up to Christ's crucifixion, his death, burial, and resurrection, was planned and carefully orchestrated by God. So also the church has been carefully planned, carefully orchestrated by one that is so much wiser and so much more powerful than all of us combined. That is God planned for this church. He planned for its mission and its purpose. He planned for every individual to be involved. And he is very serious about it. He planned it carefully and he expects great things from us. To plan ahead, think ahead, and swift action. Planning. You might say, well, how can we plan? We've got this great building. We've all assembled here on the Lord's Day. We've done a lot of planning, and yes, we have. We have great Bible classes. All of that's been planned out. The teachers come prepared, and that's all true. That's great. That's wonderful that we do those things. And we should continue to do them. Planning by every successful congregation has a plan for the local work. For evangelizing, for spreading the word, using the media, using the work in the community to accomplish these things. These things involve using our time, using the Lord's money, the budget, organizing. It involves a lot of effort, and it involves each person getting involved in the work. We can't have any weak links. We need everybody contributing to the work. Every person here is that important to the mission of this church here in Waynesville. Forward thinking can lead to opportunities. Opportunities to lead. Have you thought about who will lead the church in 10, 20, or 30 years from now here in Waynesville? Have you thought about that? What about in your family? Who's going to lead your family? What about your children, if you have children or grandchildren? Who's going to lead those? What about your friends and family? Who's going to lead them to Christ? Who's going to be here in 10 or 20 or 30 years here at Waynesville teaching the gospel? Leading the effort. Will it be you? Will it be me? There are many opportunities. Paul invested himself, he invested a lot of time in Timothy to develop him as a young man, as a preacher, that would go and spread the gospel. Timothy was to do the same with other faithful Christians. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Those Christians, in turn, were to go invest themselves in other Christians, developing them as Christians and developing them as leaders. We understand this, that God expects from us great things, to develop future leaders of the church, future leaders that will go spread the gospel, develop parents who care about their children, grandparents who care about their grandchildren. Developing future godly leaders involves fathers getting involved with their children and their families. It involves mothers teaching their children. It involves developing elders that can lead a local church. It involves the older women teaching the younger women. And we have some great examples here of older women that teach the younger women, many, as well as the men who teach the younger. We have many great examples here, and I applaud you for that. But we need to do more. There is a responsibility for the young. You might say, well, I'm young, I can't be a leader yet. You also have a responsibility to be willing to learn with an open mind. You have the responsibility, like Timothy did, to be trained. To be useful in God's kingdom requires training, it requires planning, it requires study, and it requires a great deal of prayer. And it requires a lot of action. Timothy wasn't someone who just sat on the sidelines. He didn't say, yeah, maybe I'll get to that in 10 years. Timothy, as a young man, prepared his mind and prepared himself to go and preach the gospel. He was brought up and raised, as it were, by godly women. And it was evident by his knowledge that his grandmother and his mother taught him about the Bible. Paul pointed that out. That's how we know that. What about you? Do you spend the time to train your mind? Do you spend time and study to train yourself how to teach others? Do you spend the time in prayer asking God for opportunities and the ability to teach the lost, or to be an influence on those who do not have Christ Jesus as the center of their lives? You should be. I should be. We should strive for these things. It does take a lot of time. It does take a lot of planning to develop your skills. It does take a lot of time to develop your knowledge of the Bible and be articulate in the way that you present the gospel through patience, through compassion to those who are lost. The best leaders we see in the Bible always had good followers. Joseph, Joshua, Elisha, these were great followers. So if you're a young man, you're thinking, or a young woman, how can I become a great leader? Well, look to the leaders who are here in Waynesville. Look at their example. Look at how they portray themselves in the terms of the gospel. How they are upright. How they are respectful. How they are knowledgeable about the Bible. How they're not afraid to teach the lost. How they always take the opportunity and are swift to action. How they train themselves as they grew up in the church. As they became leaders. As they became one who focused on following Jesus. Just like that young man that Jesus said, go and preach the gospel. Let the dead bury the dead. Let the cares of this world take care of themselves. You be focused on teaching the gospel. We also must develop male leadership. One of the most serious lacking things in the church today is spiritual male leadership. You don't believe me? Look around. There are fathers who don't become Christians. There are a lack of elders in many churches, including this one. And these things ought not to be so. We should develop young men to become future leaders, male spiritual leaders, according to the scriptures, to become elders and deacons, strong fathers who teach their children and teach in Bible classes. These are the types of things that God wants, that God desires. The opportunities before us here in Waynesville are many. God will hold us responsible as to how well we fulfill our responsibilities and take advantage of our opportunities each one of us individually have, as well as collectively. You in your life, you have opportunities I don't have. You have influence and persuasion over friends and family that I don't have access to, and likewise with me. We must all be accountable to each other, that we are taking advantage of the opportunities, that we are taking the effort and the time. We must understand what our business that we are in. You might say, we're not in a business. Really? The people in the railroad industry, they didn't understand that they were in the transportation business. If they did, they would have invested in the automobile or the airplane. Have you ridden on a train lately? They didn't understand what business that they were in, and therefore they fell short. Another example. People in the telegraph industry, they thought that they were in the business of the telegraph, but they were actually in the communication business. In 1886, they could have purchased all the patents on the telephone for a mere $40,000. Now, that was a lot of money at that time, but they could have purchased every single patent of the telephone and owned that entire industry, because they didn't understand they were in the communication business. Had they known that, they could have obviously come out much better. Have you sent any telegraphs lately? Probably not. You see, we are not in the church building business. Yes, a building is an expedient. It's a good thing to have. But we are not in the business of building buildings. We're not in the preacher salary paying business. Now, Abe, I hope you don't take offense here. But that's not why we're here. Jesus didn't do it because he got a salary. Paul didn't go out there and preach and suffer all those things and being persecuted because he got a salary. That's not why he did it. We're not in the gospel meeting holding business. That's not why we do this. That's not why we're here. We're not in the Bible class business. Now, all these things are expedients. They are good things. I'm not putting them down. But that's not why we're here. We're not in the parking lot business. No offense, our parking lot's great, but that's not why we're here. We're not in the collection-taking business. That's not why we gather here. It's important. We're commanded to do so, no question. That's an expedient. It helps to spread the gospel, no question about that. That's not why we're here. We're not in the banking business. We're not trying to build up a big bank account. We're not trying to gather in all the funds that we can to do all these things. That's not why we're here. We're not in the meeting business. We don't hold business meetings just, wow, that's why we're here. We've got to have more business meetings. Or class meetings or curriculum meetings or fill in the blank. That's not why we're here. You might say, well, why are we here? Glad you asked. We, here in Waynesville, must be about our Father's business. What do I mean by that? In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, the latter part of that, Jesus said, "Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus understood this concept. He knew what business he was in. He was here to save souls. He wasn't here to judge. He wasn't here to heal the sick. He wasn't here to cast out demons. He wasn't here to gather in a bunch of people, a bunch of followers, so he could be famous. He wasn't here because of riches or honor or fame. Jesus wasn't here for any of those reasons. He was here to save souls. He was here to teach the gospel and to gather as many people as he possibly could to go with him to heaven. That's why he was here. He was here to seek and to save the lost, to spread the gospel to every ear that would listen, every mind that would be open to the gospel. That's the business Jesus was in. That's our Father's business, that we have to understand that is our business. That is why we are here. This involves numerous things. Evangelism, which we talked about. Developing spiritual maturity. Growing up spiritually. Eating that spiritual meat. Not being so dependent on the spiritual milk. Teaching God's Word. Don't just be hearers of the Word, be doers. Teaching it. Acting it out. Living it out. Developing men and women of godly character today. Not tomorrow, not next week. Develop your godly character today. Help others who need to develop their godly character. Teach them. Show them by your good godly character. Infusing spirituality in all phases of our life. When I say it should permeate your life, that's a big word. That's a $50 word. That means it should dominate your thoughts. It should be clear what your number one priority is as a Christian. If it's not, you've got a problem. You're not about your Father's business. You have to think like Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." We're commanded to be about our Father's business. This isn't just some good lesson. It's not just something good to think about. This is something that's required by God. Be about your Father's business. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Think of others' interests before your own. Are they lost spiritually? They need salvation. They need the Word of God. They need baptism. They need to live faithfully unto death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. If you see someone in need, take care of that need, whether it be physical or spiritual. If you see a brother who needs lifting up, maybe a brother who's in sin or needs an encouraging word, take care of that. You don't have to go to someone older. You can do it. You can sit down with them and say, "Hey, I see you're struggling. How can I help?" Or, "Hey, let's sit down and let's study on that subject. Maybe you don't understand. I have a greater understanding. I know what the Bible says about it." Or, "Hey, let's look this up together. I don't know the topic, but I'm willing to study with you." So we both can understand what we need to do. We must be about our Father's business. Have you thought about your eternal future? Where will you be in 10, 20, or 30 years from now? Are you going to still be in the same spot you are now? Have you thought forward? Have you planned ahead about where you want to be? Where do you want to spend your eternity? If you're not a Christian, you need to be baptized. You need to take the opportunity today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. Take the opportunity now to be baptized. Wash away your sins that have permeated your life. If you are a Christian, do you have sin in your life? Are you planning ahead? We can pray with you and pray for you if you're willing to repent of that sin. If you're willing to turn away from sin in your life, we'll pray with you and pray for you for forgiveness. If you're subject in any way to the gospel call, I challenge you to plan forward, look forward, and think forward, and come forward as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.